Our scriptures this morning are very simple, very meaningful. First, from John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his Son, his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." And now we hear from 1 John 3:16, "We know love by this. He laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another." And now Psalm 23, and of course the King James Version. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." These are the words of God.
First, giving honor to God. It was a rocky morning this morning. Couldn't find this, couldn't find that. Thought I had it laid out. Got up, couldn't find it. You know. The works. But praise be to God, I'm here and you're here. So we thank God for that. I'd like to give credit for the picture that is that's showing right now. A friend of mine went on vacation to Bar Harbor, Maine, and she took this picture. Her name is Christine Winslow. And as she was sharing her vacation pictures with me, I said, "That's perfect for my sermon." So she emailed it to me, and I want to acknowledge her contribution this morning. And I also want to thank everybody who helped put the service together. I don't know how to do any of this other stuff. I can write a speech, but I can write a sermon. But let me tell you, sitting down there looks a whole lot different than being up here. It's a lot of instruments going on. So I just want to thank everybody for your help. You've heard the scriptures, and I need to do my process. I like to start with a prayer. Most Heavenly God, we just thank you. Thank you right now, Lord, that you sit me down and you stand up and you do all the speaking, for this is your word for your people. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to be here, that we're able to hear a word from you. And then, Lord, that we enter to worship, but then we will depart to serve, Lord God, using the tools that you're giving us. In Jesus' righteous and holy name we pray. Amen. The title of my message is "How Do I Love Thee?" And it may sound like a familiar title to you. I remember studying it in school myself, but I'm going to take a different spin. I'm going to put this in terms of God and, oh, how he loves us, how he loves you and me. As many of you know, I've been on a journey with my health for the past year and a half, 2 years, and it seemed that the news was bad, and then it got worse, and then it got worse. But you all prayed and cared for me. And I can't thank you enough. I can't say thank you often enough. So whenever I have a chance, I want to thank you for all that you've done. In the days during recovery, reflection, and yes, my depression, I had many thoughts. I had angers and fears, and something I hadn't experienced before, which was a lot of anxiety. But one day, I just woke up and I said, I've had enough of the negative thoughts. And I decided I needed to fight back. And so I set out to rethink, remember, and rejoice in my relationship with Jesus. Just as the stones at the Jordan River and just as the stones here on our altar remind us of what God has already done and what he's already brought us through, I needed to remember. I don't have rocks at my house, but I do have memories. So the Cancer Center gave me a journal. Now, I'll be honest with you. Even when I was younger, I could never keep a diary. I could get started, and then I'd lose thought. I guess I have what they now call ADD, whatever. But I also had two brothers who were committed to finding whatever I had so that they could, you know, do what brothers do with their sister's stuff. So I never really got into keeping a diary. However, this particular week, and on that particular day, the Holy Spirit directed me to remember all that I could of what God has done and is doing in my life and in the lives of other people. So I started writing. Now, these aren't going to be in any kind of, they're not going to be in the order in which they occurred to me, but they're in the order for today's message. Genesis 1:26 says, God made us in his image and likeness, and it was good. In the Wednesday connection session, Pastor Tammy read this scripture to the group. Now, I've heard this scripture many times in sermons, in Sunday school. I read it in Bible studies. But that night, 3 weeks ago, I heard and felt something very different about that scripture, about the love of God, that he loved us so much, he gave us a bit of himself, his image and his likeness. Now, sometimes we get hung up on the image part, but it reads image and likeness. If we believe God is spirit, that God is love, and God made us in his image and likeness, then we are those things too. How do I love thee? He gave us a portion of himself, his image, his likeness, his spirit, his love, and his ability to love others. My aha moment was in realizing that I am not just a physical being, but I am of spirit and soul, and I have a part of God in me. I've heard that before. I've mentally and intellectually believed it, but this time, in that space, at that moment, wow, it pierced my heart. It became a part of me, a part I could acknowledge. Just like Jesus, my physical self will go away. It's inevitable. It will happen. But the essence of me will not. We really do continue on. We really do live again, just as Jesus said. Why? Because we believe in Jesus. And we were created in his image and his likeness. He loves us. My next reflection came from John 3:16, but for the message, I included 17 as well. And again, I'm paraphrasing some of these. He gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That the world through him might be saved. The world. Oh, how he loves us. Have you ever had your faith shaken so hard that you couldn't breathe, think, or pray? Have you been so upset you couldn't think of a single person to call on for help? Have you just been plain speechless with pain and grief? It's a difficult road to travel. You may be on that road right now, but I want you to know that God loves you because you're looking at someone who's been on that road. As I reflected, I remembered the recent times when God had someone send me a card or just a phone call as I was sinking into despair. And sometimes you don't know you're sinking until somebody throws you that lifeline and you grab on and you see how far they had to drag you out. I remember how he provided money so I could afford my medication, or how he put someone in my path who needed prayer. Oh, but that was an interesting and is an interesting way to rescue you. That prayer request caused me to look to the heavens when I couldn't even pray for myself. It brought me out of a despair. I remember that I had rides to the hospital, and I had a son who was so strong and helped me through this difficulty. I met a man, because I'm one of those annoying people in the cancer center waiting room that's talking to people. And so I meet people that way. It's sort of my thing. So I met a man and his wife who was being treated, the gentleman was being treated for pancreatic cancer. And in talking to them, I found out that he's been treated for 10 years for pancreatic cancer. And I know I don't hide my emotions all that well, but I know my eyes must have gotten this big. And I said, pancreatic cancer? We always hear that people die in months from, I'm thinking this, I didn't say it out loud. That people die in months from pancreatic cancer. But he had this, his wife was just telling me, oh, he's been through all this and this, and they drive 3 hours each way to come to Redding for treatment. God is amazing. He loves us. He does things. And he puts them in our sphere of knowledge. I've read books. I read a book, 10 Days to Live, which I hope... if you can remember books, I hope that's a book that you might seek out. It's very powerful, about a young man who was given a terminal diagnosis. It was so terminal, they told him he had 10 years. That was 20-some years ago. And how his church rallied around him, and they sent prayers, and they just were not going to take it. You know, they just weren't going to take it. They believed in the power of God's love. The doctor treated him for years after, trying to find out, well, how did you defeat it? And finally, they just gave up. We don't know how you defeated it. Now, some people might say, well, it was a misdiagnosis. It was not a misdiagnosis. God. God loves us. Oh, how he loves us. I met people at the cancer center that I had no idea were suffering from cancer, just like they didn't know I was suffering from cancer. And I put those people on prayer lists and found another purpose. I found another purpose. Loving others is one of the images and likenesses of God. That is in our purpose. Whoever needed this message this morning, I'm speaking encouragement into you. Let your brothers and sisters in Christ stand in the gap for you. I know this road, and that there are others here to help you. Our faith does get shaken. Don't be upset about that. It's supposed to get shaken. It's supposed to be tested. The book of Job teaches us a lot about that. Yes, it's the Old Testament, but it teaches an important lesson. Job 1:21. Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You are blessed. You are one of the blessed of the Lord. Both Job and Paul remind us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, including standing up to our shaken faith. How do I love thee? Jesus invites us in times of doubt and shaken faith to take on his yoke. Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Rest upon the Lord. Rest upon the Lord. I know it sounds so simple, but let me tell you, it is not. There were many times I had to imagine sitting on the Lord's lap with my head on his shoulder, just crying out. Crying out. Give yourself over to Jesus. Paul says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, yes. It's when we are weak that we call upon the Lord. When everything's going fine, you know, we say, oh, well, you know, I'm making good money. I can pay the bills. I got a new car. Let things go the other way. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Well, you're supposed to make it both ways. Because Paul said, I had plenty and I've had less. But I've learned to be content in both situations. Right? Paraphrase. Let us remember that as Christians, we do believe in the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is one of the in our image. Jesus agreed to be sent to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. In John 14:9, Jesus reminds Philip and us, you have seen me, you have also seen the Father. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Oh, yes, I believe. I can testify. I not only believe, I know for myself firsthand that Jesus lives. And he lives in the Father. He intercedes for us with the Father. Remember, Jesus is in the Father and Jesus is in us. We are created in their image and their likeness. Believing in Jesus Christ releases the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to abide in us. Jesus laid down his life for our sins. He was the perfect, sinless sacrifice. He laid down his life for his friends. I love the songs, I'm a Friend of God. I don't know if you've ever heard it. I'm a Friend of God. I am a Friend of God. I'm a Friend of God. He calls me friend. You know that song. And what a friend we have in Jesus. How truly comforting those words are. How do I love thee? Because he lives, the gates of heaven have been flung open. He's not in the tomb. He's not on the cross. He sits at the right hand of the Father. We are forgiven for all our sins. He doesn't say accept, accept, accept. He went to the cross for sins, all of them. Now, when I was preaching this in my head, I was saying that when I say we are forgiven, I want you to repeat to yourself, I am forgiven. I didn't write it down, but that's what I want you to do. We are forgiven. So I want you to think to yourself, I am forgiven. I want you to claim that. Not just a blanket we, but I. Because God knows your name. He's not looking and saying, okay, the people at Calvary. No, he's saying your name. We are redeemed. Say it. I am redeemed. Hallelujah. We are saved by grace. I am saved by grace. We are the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. We are blessed. I am blessed. We have an inheritance in Christ. I have an inheritance in Christ. Jesus went to prepare a place for us. Jesus went to prepare a place for me. We have eternal life because we believe in Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Jesus defeated death. And by his stripes we are healed. How do I love thee? You may recognize this scripture from Matthew 5, 3 to 11. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. How do I love thee? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Oh, how I love you. I wanted to share the hope of Jesus with you. The 23rd Psalm may have been written before Jesus came, but it absolutely applied and applies to us today. The Lord is my shepherd. That's our relationship. He knows each of us by name. We are his sheep. I shall not want. All your needs will be met. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. Sometimes, during my time, I had to recognize sometimes God has to sit you down and shut you up so he can deal with you. I'm one of those people. Sit me down and shut me up so he could go in and do the housekeeping that needs to be done. I don't know. I might have some brothers and sisters like that too. I don't know. But he leadeth me beside the still waters. That's refreshment. The one and only time I ever went hiking, we went to a waterfall. It was the most relaxing thing I've ever done. The water was so clear, but the sound of the water and just the location was just wonderful. That's how I remember it. He restoreth my soul. That's healing. Now, we often think of healing as just our bodies, but there's a lot of healing that has to take place in our hearts and soul. Because guess what? If the heart and soul aren't well, it can make the body sick. I bet you've heard that before. When I talked to my oncologist, he said, "You did very well with the treatment." He said, "Not everybody does as well as you did." And I said, "Well, you know, I had a lot of people praying for me." He said, He said, "I think it was your attitude." I said, "Well, I do have an attitude, but I don't think that was the attitude he meant." What I told him in response was, "I had a lot of people praying for me." He said, "Well, in my experience, people who have people praying for them and who pray do better." Okay? He restoreth my soul. That's healing. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. That's guidance. That's the guidance that God provides. How do I love thee? He's not going to leave it to us to do all on our own. For his name's sake, that's the purpose. Why did Pharaoh have to let the Israelites go? So that they could worship God, right? That's why we are here, to worship. That's our purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the tests that I mentioned, we have to be tested, not for God's sake, but for our sake. Right? We got to know we can stand the test of time. I will fear no evil. You're protected. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's the discipline. Get back over here. That little lost sheep, got to go get it and get it back on track with the rest. Thou prepareth a table in the presence of my enemies. The hope of Jesus. No weapon formed can prosper. Thou anointest my head with oil, the consecration. My cup runneth over, abundance. Not only is he going to give us our supply, but it's going to be in abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Security, eternity. Reconnecting to the promises of God. This is where my journey led me as I fought my way back to the promises of Jesus. It may not work this way for you, but I want to be a help to you if I can. I need to be honest, though. It's harder than it sounds. It's worth it, but it's harder than it sounds. Doubt, anxiety, panic, fear, wonder, they may all land powerful blows against you, but please resist. Go to your Bible and let the love of Jesus Christ overcome them. Amen.